Good morning. Welcome to worship. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's wonderful for us to be joined together in worship today. There are several announcements in your bulletin. One that I would call your attention to in particular is our socially distanced, masked Christmas carol sing this afternoon at 4:30. It looks like the weather's going to hold out for us, so that will be good. An email should be going out later with a song sheet you can print and bring with you or bring on your device. Also, a reminder that in addition to this worship opportunity at 10:30 today or any time after, you can also access a video streamed service pre-recorded from our sanctuary. That'll be available for each Sunday, so I would lift that up to you as an option if you are not able to come in person at some point in time, or if you just want to share that with somebody who maybe can't be here with us. At this time, let us confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness. Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven, and you are free, free from all that holds you back, and free to live in the peaceable realm of God. May you be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Lord, you are light in the darkness, the hope for those afraid. Comfort us, strengthen us, heal our broken world. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. One with the Father and Spirit before the worlds began. Visit us, make us new, waken us for love. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear.
A reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are when the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those dreaming. Then our mouths mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert, those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I want to call on our children's attention for a moment. Hopefully you've been paying attention for more than just a moment, but at this time, I'd like for us to talk for a moment. I want you to think with me. How many of you have ever wanted to be the best or the greatest at something? I think we all probably have wanted to be the best or the greatest at something. And sometimes it's fun to think about being the greatest athlete or the greatest actor or the greatest student. But today in our gospel lesson, we hear about a man named John who made sure that everyone knew he was not the greatest. Now, John was very popular. People liked him and liked to hear his message. Many people came out to see him. And many people tried to tell John that he was and could be and should be the greatest. But John knew that Jesus was coming and that Jesus was greater than him. And John knew it was more important to help other people see and hear Jesus than it was for him to be known as the greatest. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to always give our best, not to be the greatest, but to point others toward your greatness and to help others to know your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the unique features of John's gospel is that John uses courtroom imagery and terminology throughout the gospel. His whole gospel account, in fact, is itself a trial, a lengthy process that leaves the reader to be the judge and decide at the end of the gospel, is this Jesus who he claimed to be, and is this Jesus worth following? Of course, we know about the literal trial of Jesus in John's gospel before Pontius Pilate. It's recorded actually in all four gospels. But here in John, we see elements of that courtroom setting seeping into earlier parts of this story. Even in that most famous of passages, John 3:16, we get the sense that we're being given a piece of evidence to consider. For God so loved the world. What did God do? God sent his only son. Also consider a bit later in John chapter 3, we hear these words, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. All this talk of condemnation, of judgment, brings to mind a courtroom drama. Each new character or situation that occurs in John serves as a new exhibit, a new piece of evidence to show us who Jesus is and why and how he came to dwell among us. And in John's gospel, the first witness on the stand, so to speak, is John. John the Baptizer. Now, John the Gospel writer, this gets confusing with all the Johns, John the Gospel writer does not call him John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. He just calls him John, but I think the best term for him here is John the Witness. That is his role in the story. He is the one who has come to bear witness to the light that is coming into the world. John tells us this is his testimony. He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. He said, I am not Elijah. I am not another prophet. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And he also explained his baptism to the Pharisees. I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. This is John's witness. This is his testimony. In the courtroom drama that is about to unfold over the next 21 chapters of this gospel, John serves as the first one to testify on behalf of Jesus. His witness serves, first of all, to clarify what and who he is not. I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not another prophet. We see here in John's emphatic denial that there were probably many who thought that he was the Messiah. He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed. Why would he need to do that so emphatically if there were not people trying to make him into something he knew himself not to be? Clearly, a lot of people thought John was the promised one instead of Jesus, but John's witness made it clear he was not the one they were waiting for. In fact, later in John chapter 3, John's disciples come to him to complain that Jesus is doing ministry instead of John. They came to John and they said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." How tempting for John to insert himself and say, "You're right, we've got to fix this, we can do better. We can draw bigger crowds. We can outdo Jesus." No, what did John say? John said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Further, John pointed his followers to Jesus, saying to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John wasn't pointing at himself. John was pointing them to Jesus. And his disciples left John and began to follow Jesus and became Jesus' first disciples. John was merely the witness, the one to point the way, to call attention to Jesus. So John's witness served to clarify who and what he was not, but his witness also did serve to clarify what his role was. And interestingly, John pointed to Scripture in order to do this. It's sort of like a mission statement for John, I suppose, or as some modern Christians might call it, a life verse. Words to live by, a mission to follow and fulfill. And what verse does John choose? What passage? He chooses the words of Isaiah when Isaiah foretold God's joyous reconciliation with God's estranged chosen people. "I am," he said, "the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And third, John's witness served to explain his actions and activity in a way that pointed toward the greater action and activity of Jesus who was to come. "I baptize with water," he said, "but another stands among you who is so much more and whose baptism will mean so much more." John's actions, in other words, were not ends in themselves, but rather were intended to serve Jesus's greater coming mission and work. You know, interestingly, John the gospel writer does not give us a description of the appearance or diet of John the Baptist. And I think that's important precisely because for John's gospel, John's appearance and diet don't matter so much. It doesn't matter whether he's dressed as Elijah because he freely admitted, "I'm not Elijah." By all the other accounts we have, however, John dressed oddly. He ate strange foods. He acted in interesting ways. He was prone to angry outbursts. And that fact gives me a bit of comfort because God used someone a little bit odd to testify to the light and love of Jesus. God uses and chooses the unexpected to bring about this message of salvation. And this Advent, this Christmas, this winter, this year, and into the next, God is going to do that again. God chooses people, odd or not. God chooses someone like me, someone like you. It's our witness that is important. It's our testimony that matters. We in the Lutheran Church do not have a part of our worship service dedicated to giving a testimony as some of our fellow Christians practice. We don't really encourage others to give their testimony in order to share their faith as some Christians do. There are probably good reasons for that, and some of you are probably glad I'm not going to put you on the spot to do that here this morning. But I think we miss out by not emphasizing this role that we play as witnesses, as living testimonials to Christ in the world. Because the world needs to hear the news that we have. The news of one greater than ourselves who came to live among us, to set us free from sin and death, and all the powers that seek to separate us from God. I don't want us to miss out on our own little part in the courtroom drama, our own opportunity to stand as witness to the light in our daily lives. I don't want us to forget that adage that John spoke so long ago, he must increase, I must decrease. And for us in our lives, our testimony does not have to be some miraculous story or Damascus Road experience of conversion. If that's your story, I think that's wonderful, but mine is not nearly so dramatic. Maybe you can relate. In fact, some might say my story of faith seems rather boring. I grew up in church, raised by loving Christian parents. I can't remember a time when I was not in church, part of the church. But I'm a witness to the light as well through that story. In fact, my somewhat boring story bears witness to a unique aspect of our faith, the fact that God's love is faithful to us from the cradle on up. It was the love of God in Christ that made my parents get me up every Sunday morning and take me to church. It was the love of God in Christ that opened my heart and my eyes to the Scriptures and to the Spirit's moving among myself and my friends and my fellow disciples in youth group and in church. Looking back on my life up to this point, I can see God's hand at work even in my seemingly ordinary story of testimony. And for us, as for John, we must be clear in our stories about three things. First, what we're not. Obviously, we are not the Messiah. There are those in the world who unrealistically expect the church to be perfect. They want us to so reflect the love of Jesus that we never make a mistake, and oh, how I wish that were true of us. We're working on it. We're living into it. But we can't take on others' expectations of perfection in ourselves, because they and we will be disappointed. We must be clear. We point to one far greater than ourselves. Second, we must be clear about who we are, what we are, and what we're doing while we're here, just as John did. And just as John did, we may use Scripture to convey that. Now, John chose that passage from Isaiah about the voice of one in the wilderness. But for you, I wonder what your Scripture verse might be. For you in your life, what verse or story conveys how you see God's calling in your life to work in the world? It might well be that same one as John, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, but it may not. Maybe for you the image is that of the shepherd leaving 99 perfectly good sheep to go find the one who is lost. Maybe that's playing out in your life. Maybe you know somebody who is like that one lost sheep And you will stop at nothing to make sure they're okay and that they know and feel the love of God and your care for them. Or maybe for you, it's that passage from Ezekiel where the prophet speaks to the dry bones, telling them to live and walk and have life again. Maybe you know people in your life who do not have hope and who need to be given new hope and new life. I haven't lately assigned homework in my sermons, but I'm going to do that this week for those of you who will take the challenge. And that homework is to find an image in Scripture that you think helps to capture your witness to Jesus' love. And third, we must be like John, in that we must be clear about the fact that Jesus is the one for whom we minister and the one who ultimately matters. We must be humble. We must remember we are not even worthy to handle his shoes, yet he chooses us to witness to him anyway. I say again, we must be humble. We are living in a world that often utterly lacks humility, civility, love, compassion. I say again, we must be humble. You want to change the world? So did God. And what was God's way of changing the world? Was it to come and smite us? Was it to show hostility? Was it to strong arm us or argue with us? No, indeed, God's answer to our sinfulness and our hostility was the peace and the helplessness and the vulnerability of a baby born to a peasant mother. God's answer to the ills of our world is Jesus, not forced on us, but given to us, coming in mercy, not in wrath. We must be humble as that newborn child, if we are able. If you want to change the world, show mercy. If you want to change the world, be an agent of peace. If you want to change the world, show forgiveness. That is God's way. And an even greater challenge than the first, that is your second piece of homework this week. Once you find that verse that resonates with you, that describes a way that you serve Jesus in the world, put it in practice. Experiment with it. Try living out the love Jesus shows to you by sharing it with others. You go and stand as a witness to the love and mercy of God in Christ this week. Amen.
Restore, make us right to heart.
Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of power and might, shine your radiance and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. God of preachers and messengers, you have entrusted your church with the work of proclaiming good news. Strengthen the witness of bishops, pastors, deacons, church musicians, lay leaders, and all people who contribute their prayers and talents to public worship. Embed your word in their hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of every living creature, you announce the year of your favor for all of creation. Extend your kindness and relief to endangered animals and plants. Strengthen the human beings who rely on the rhythms of nature to make their living. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of all peoples and nations, you plant us as your oaks of righteousness and ask us to care for one another. Be present with the leaders of every nation as they govern. Give them a spirit of righteousness, that your goodness and mercy is revealed through their actions. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of exiles and wanderers, you repair what was once destroyed. We pray for people who have been displaced from their homes by fire, flood, earthquake, or storm. Support the work of Lutheran World Relief, Lutheran Disaster Response, and all disaster relief organizations in their recovery efforts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of the powerful and helpless, you clothe us with strength when our spirits are weak and weary. Bestow your spirit upon this congregation and empower us to comfort the people who turn to us in times of need. Make your church a place of refuge and healing. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of sinners and saints, you offer joy even in the midst of our grief. We are grateful for the beloved, imperfect people whose lives testified to your radiant love. Anoint all who mourn with the oil of gladness. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another. We continue our worship with the great thanksgiving in the middle of page 6 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
So have the prophets long declared that we
child as prophet of the Lord, you will prepare the way to tell God's people they are saved from sin's eternal sway. Then shall God's mercy from on high shine forth and never cease to drive away the gloom of death and lead us into peace.
Go in peace, prepare the way of the Lord.